Welcome to Captivate the Room with your host, internationally known voice expert, Tracy Goodwin, an award-winning speaker who has taught hundreds around the globe to make a big impact with their voice. This podcast is for anyone who wants to step onto a bigger stage, make a bigger impact, and have a voice that makes people listen. Presentation matters, and the voice is the missing link. Join in and you'll see why.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Tracy Goodwin, and I teach people how to make a bigger impact with their message using their voice. You can find out more about me at captivatetheroom.com. And one of the ways we use our voice is communicating effectively. They really go hand in hand. And that's why I'm doing this series. If you're just tuning in, I'm in the middle of a series on using your voice and communicating more effectively. I've got a 5-day challenge, Reclaim Your Real Voice and Communicate Effectively. That's a lot of repetition. You get the point here. Communicating effectively is key. I'd love for you to join the challenge. The link is in the show notes. I'm loving this series and I'm getting such great positive feedback on this. Everybody struggles in one of these areas somewhere in their life or with someone in their life. End of story. Even me. Now, I've worked on this stuff my whole life. I've studied this stuff. I've got degrees in this stuff. I've taught this stuff. And even I faced challenges in some of these areas. There's 10 areas that we want to work on to be effective communicators. Some of us will be better in some of those areas than others. And some of us will excel with our personal relationships and some at work. It's a mixed bag. But I'm covering a lot of these topics in this series. And of course, I'm covering more in the challenge. And today is really, I don't know if you've ever heard this stuff or not, what I'm talking about today. And I hope I don't get too textbook on you today. But today we're going to talk about noise. And I'm not talking about the kind of noise that you want to shut off when you need silence. I'm not talking about that kind of noise. I'm talking about what gets in the way of us being effective communicators. And we call it, in the textbook definition, we call it noise. And there are a number of things that are considered noise. And when these bits of noise crop up, they're like little barbs that are poking into your perfect bubble of communication. And the bottom line is these barbs are everywhere because even if you don't have them, somebody else does. And that's what we're navigating. You know, that's what we're navigating is, okay, I'm pretty good with conflict, but I'm not good with empathy, or I'm good with empathy and I'm really not good at saying no. Whatever your issues are, and then you're running up against people all day long with different ones, right? So we're navigating this world and communication is key to everything, right? So we're going to talk about noise today. And I'm not going to go into huge detail on most of the elements of noise. But a couple of them I am going to branch out a little bit because there's a couple of them that are really, really huge and problematic. But when this noise crops up, it's a surefire guarantee that there's going to be a jag in the communication. And so by knowing, first of all, by recognizing, oh, okay, this is some noise, I can navigate this. And stepping into some of the techniques I'm going to give you today will help you be more of an effective communicator. But here's the problem. What we tend to do is immediately go on the defensive, take things personal, shut down, and pull from our bag of negative communication traits and tricks when noise crops up. Because we may not even recognize that that's what it is, all of a sudden everything becomes about us and we go into defense mode, attack mode, shutdown mode. And that's where the communication starts to unravel. Because now I've got to defend. Now I've got to prove. Now I've got to escape. Now I've got to shut you down. Now I've got to make sure I'm heard. And, you know, I mean, there's just a million different things that we do. Everybody's different when these noise bits crop up. But the bottom line, the thing that's similar for everyone is they wreak havoc internally. When noise crops up for me, it's just, oh, you know, it's just that zing. It's just that pain. It's just that, well, this is a problem. So we start by recognizing that it's noise and that the only part that's about us is that we're not recognizing that it's noise. The part that is about us, we're taking it personal and we're getting defensive and we're not pausing and breathing and thinking this through to see what's really happening. And then in many cases, we're not even recognizing what noise is. So that's what I want to start with. Some of these are going to be really familiar to you. Others, you probably have never thought about it, but as soon as I read them, you're going to recognize. So there's lots of different bits of noise, and these can come into play in your personal life and your business life. First of all, this context, you know, context is the physical situation. Where are you? I mean, really, are you outside? Is the traffic going by really fast? Are you in a blizzard? And, you know, I want to stop right there because I want to talk about East Coast for a minute, because this is a perfect example. I lived in New York City, as you know, for many, many years, and I loved it. I'm from Texas, and now I'm in LA, but I absolutely loved New York City, and I would go back in a heartbeat. But I'll be honest with you, I cried the first 2 years I lived there, and I cried because of the way people communicated with me. It was abrupt, it was short, it was brief, it was straight to the point, which is funny because I'm such a straight shooter and you know me as a straight shooter. And a lot of that came from being living in New York so long. And I was so sensitive to it. I took it all personally. I took it all on board. And then what I learned in that first 2 years, and it may not have been 2 years, it may have been less, it was the physical situation that caused New Yorkers to communicate the way they do. New York is a hustle town. You got to move. You got to go. You got to thrive. You got to, I mean, it's just boom, boom, boom. You don't get behind you don't get behind in New York. And in the winter, when it was 7 degrees or below and you're walking 9 blocks to the subway, you're not really stopping to chat. And when I wrapped my mind around the physical situation of New York, I completely understood why they/we communicated the way we do. And it made me love them even more. And it made me really see, oh, they're so misunderstood because there is when growing up in the South, certainly in my family, it was like, oh, they're so rude. They're so this, they're so, no. They're my favorite people on earth. They're to the point. They gotta go. That's it. The physical situation drives the communication style. But you see how it could be perceived in a negative way. So that's physical. Cultural differences is huge. And I could go on and on. I could do a whole series on the cultural situation creating noise. And, you know, it starts with dialect. I get a lot of people that work with me from other countries and they come because their people don't understand them. And it's incredibly frustrating. Dialect, language barriers, that's huge, a huge part of communication and can create tremendous noise, but cultural differences can as well. When you start looking at nonverbals, some of the nonverbals we do, like thumbs up and okay, and then other ones that you might do in traffic, you know, the one, they're considered something totally different in other cultures. So the cultural situation is massive in regards to noise. Well, I can't understand what he said, so I'm just going to do it my way. Well, I thought you said that, but I guess your accent got in the way. You see? Do you see how this stuff is really an albatross for being effective communicators? The historical situation, which is like hierarchy. Well, you know, she's been with the company for 20 years and you've only been here for 2. Hierarchy plays into so many things, not everything. I know lots of companies where it doesn't matter how long you've been there. It's all about what you can do. But hierarchy plays, history and hierarchy is massive in the noise conundrum. Well, we've got to let him do that because he's been here for 40 years, but you can't do that. That's going to create one of those barbs in effective communication. So one of the things you have to do is you really have to remember those things and take into perspective all of that, especially if it's, you know, if it's a company, the situation, the company, the individual, what is happening here? Okay, she's been here that long. We're in this location. This is a bad situation. We've got a cultural difference. Do you see how all of a sudden, when you take that all into perspective, you can stop and go, oh, okay, I get it that I was not the best communicator in that scenario based on this new information about noise. And as we've become a more global society, especially over here in America, and I don't travel the world anymore, but I'm assuming that it's like this everywhere, because when I work with people from different countries, they're generally not from that country. They're just in that country. This cultural piece has become, it is huge. And we really have to start looking at it. We really have to start paying attention. Maybe I should do a series on that. All right. You know, something else that's in context, which is, here's one, there's kind of like a big two in this episode today about noise: perception. What you see and hear is based on what you need, want, and feel. Your perception. I see it that way. I hear it that way because I perceived it that way because I want to feel this way. Perception is huge, really huge. And I think that we have to really check our perception. I think that's where effective communication becomes so important, asking for clarification. Know that your perception is at play. Know that your mind is saying, well, you perceived it like this, so it must be true. And this is really, that's a beautiful segue into gossip, which I'm not going to go into today. I'm going to do an episode of its own on gossip, but I perceive you were mad at me because I felt like you were. You see how perception is so linked to feelings, but perception is not clarification. Perception is not the truth always. I've said so many times, well, did you go interview them? Did you go ask them the question? Well, no. Well, then you don't know. So why are we going down this rabbit trail of discussion and like gossip or not speaking, silent treatment, any of it, when you don't know for a fact? You perceive you know. So perception is massive. We have to get clarification. We have to say, all right, let me look at this. This is what I think I heard. This is what I believe he wants me to do. This is what I thought she said. This is what I think is happening, but let me get clarification because that's what I'm perceiving, but that very well may not be the truth. I just got off the phone. I had a conversation with somebody about this very thing because I was perceiving rather than clarifying. And I needed a little sounding board because I was way too up in my head. So get clarification. Could you restate that? Could you send that in writing? I have everybody send me everything in writing. Not because I don't believe them, but because I will forget the details. Will you send that? Will you send me something? Will you tell me what I said? You know, in writing right now, write it down, or I write it down. Because I know when I go to my feelings to determine what went down, then it's really going to get sticky. All right. So get that clarification. I heard you say, would you mind repeating that? I want to make sure I get this right. That's where you go to those transitional phrases and those connection phrases. Semantics plays into this. Semantics, how we interpret things. That's what semantics is, if you didn't know. I didn't know. I didn't know what that was for a while. And then I decided to write a graduate thesis on it. I love semantics. Your interpretation is going to be totally, totally different than mine. I always like to use the example of color. Like if we thought, like if I say yellow, think of yellow. And I do this in live workshops and I love it. Or I'll do blue. You know, blue is a really big one. I actually do a voice exercise where we play vocal shades of blue. It's really cool. So if I say, think of what is blue? What's blue? You could be thinking of navy. The guy next to you could be thinking of denim. The lady next to you could be thinking of sky blue. He's thinking of midnight blue. That one's thinking of ocean blue. I'm thinking of turquoise. Yet I said blue. Do you see how many shades, how many interpretations play into communication? And when we start relying on our perception, our interpretation, what that means to us, which is what we're going to do, why would we not? Well, then the communication can start to break down. Especially, I think it's in personal relationships and in business. When I've got a story, everybody's got a story, and my story is, oh, you know, they're all going to lie. Everybody's going to lie. Let's say that's my story. And then I perception and interpretation rolls into that. What do you think I'm going to think? What do you think the communication breakdown's going to be? Well, they lied to me. And now I'm going to go talk to Judy about it. Right? Do you see how this unravels? Isn't it crazy? And just having that awareness. Okay. We've got a physical situation. We've got a cultural situation. We've got a historical situation. We've got perception. We've got semantics. I don't know how you're interpreting this. So again, I go back to clarification. What did you mean by that? What did you mean when you said, is this what you wanted me to do? Rather than just going off and doing it, rather than just picking up your phone and getting back on the phone and looking at stuff on your phone, find out. Get their truth. Don't just leave it to your own. And that requires communication. That requires talking to each other, which I'm getting really fired up about. And I may even do an episode on, hey, I've got a great idea. Let's talk to each other again. Whoa. Which I guess is what this really is all about, right? I want people to be effective as communicators. But I want people communicating, right? Don't send me a text, talk to me. I statements are really key too. You know, I heard you say this, I think you want this. I statements are a huge recommendation. And then of course we come to the mother load of all, and I'm gonna segue into the mother load of all with talking about briefly about assumptions. Assumptions. I expected it was true. It was valid proof in my mind because I assumed it. I assumed the report was due at 4. That was the truth. I put that as truth in my mind. Never assume anything. I assumed you were going to call. You said you were going to call. I assumed you would call because you said you were going to call. See, this is sounding familiar. I assumed you would come to work on time because you knew that the start time for work was 9 a.m. I assumed you would get the report to me because I asked, right? Assumptions are brutal. But nothing is more brutal in the mother load of all of this noise. You know where I'm going. Expectations. In this conversation that I had earlier, we were talking about expectations, and we were talking about comparison too, about how comparison is just the most toxic thing for the soul. But I believe that for many, many people, expectations are toxic for the soul. When we start expecting things of other people, whatever it is, I expect you to do what I ask you to do. I expect you to be there. I expect you to get the work done. We start really sliding down a slippery slope. I like to define expectations as, I know what I want, but I forgot to tell you about it. Right? You know what you want, but you just forgot this one bit about letting the other person know. And if I don't know that it bothers you, if I don't know what you want, if I don't know how you feel, man, what am I supposed to do? I'm going to do what I know to do, right? So we've got these expectations, and I think that there are a lot of variables in expectations. I think we put expectations on ourselves, but I think, you know, and we've got expectations of other people. I expect to do a great job, but I think the real, you know, which is dangerous enough, but I think what I'm really focusing on right now is I expected you to do something and you didn't get it done. And so now I'm mad. Now we've got disappointment. Now we've got this. Now we've got that. Well, I didn't even know you needed it done. I wasn't even clear on it. You expected it, but there was no communication about it. When you have an expectation and you don't communicate it, I need the communication part. Because here's the thing, I'm not in your head. There's realistic expectations and there's unrealistic expectations. And those unrealistic ones are the real problem. You'll be what I want. You'll act how I want. You'll do what I want. And that's unrealistic. We have to accept things as they are with it. You know, and now I'm not saying don't strive for better, but I can't expect you to act the way I want you to act in a work setting or a personal setting. That's noise. I have to communicate clearly to you what I want, need, feel, think, etc. And that needs to be reciprocal, or we start messing with expectations. And I think these things just roll around in our head and we don't put them out in words. So we predict things to come true. We predict that things are going to come true with our expectations, right? And the problem is here in effective communication, I predicted that would come true and it's up in my mind, but I forgot to tell you. So guess what happens when the basket gets turned upside down and that prediction did not come true because you didn't even know it needed to come true. You see how lethal expectations are? And I think that everybody has expectations. We carry them. We learn them from our stories, you know, from send me an email if you know somebody who's never had expectations, who doesn't struggle with expectations. I'd like to have a conversation with them. And because I think that would be great to know, because I'd like to never have them again. What do they cost us? Well, they cost us that inner peace. Frustration for ourselves and frustration for the other people and a breakdown in communication sans not effective communication. From that comes acting out. From that comes sabotaging our work. From that come sabotaging other people, not liking each other, ending relationships. I'm not working with her. I'm miserable at work because of this breakdown in communication with my boss or my coworker or someone because I had an expectation. So it all leads back to speak your truth, just do it beautifully, right? Because all of this noise, that's exactly what it is. It's us not using our voice, not being aware that there are things beyond what we want and need, that other factors could be at play, and then not validating that with our voice, using our words, using I statements, taking things into context, looking at our perception, looking at our assumptions, looking at our expectations, looking at interpretation, looking at cultural differences. Instead, we just, this is the way we want it. You didn't deliver. I'm going to cut you out of my life. Or I'll deal with it myself. Or I'm really going to have to move you to a different division because I really can't work with you. Well, is that true? Or did we just not communicate effectively? So I want to encourage you. I may do some longer episodes on some of these topics because in this noise section, because I think they're so huge. But for today, I wanted to just do this overview, and I want you to remember these, and I want you to, in your workplace, in your daily life, in your daily rounds, I want you to kind of keep them on the front burner. When you start to have communication breakdown with people and you're starting to get frustrated and you're about to say things you don't really want to say, do a quick unravel in your mind. Okay, all right, is this cultural? Is this my interpretation? Do I have an expectation? And you're going to have to train yourself to do it because we've got a knee-jerk reaction to boom, react, boom, I'm going to yell, boom, I'm going to get sarcastic, boom, I'm going to start playing the victim or whatever. Make you a little index card and write these down and say, okay, is this any of these? Memorize them. And then respond rather than react. Don't react. You've been reacting. How's that working for you? If you're struggling in an area of communication where you're getting defensive, where you're getting all of those things we talked about at the beginning of the episode, how's that working for you? It's time to do it different. So it's time to respond, which requires you to pause, think, and use your voice and be aware that it just might not, what's going down in this communication scenario just might not be about you. We want to be effective communicators. I want to be an effective communicator. The world would change if we could communicate effectively. I promise you. It's not going to change completely, but there would be massive shifts if we would start communicating more effectively. And that's why I want to give you some of these tools. I'm not going to give them all to you. I don't know. Maybe I will. Maybe I'll come back and do another series. But I'm giving you what you need for the holidays. So stick with me, stay with me on this series. I hope you're enjoying it. Make sure you check out the challenge. I'd love to have you in that. I'd love to get an opportunity to help you with your greatest communication issues because that's what's going to happen in the challenge. But that's it for today. So until I see you next time, you know what to do. Get out there and speak your truth. Just do it beautifully.